bless me.
So we pray, gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us, Lord, your wonderful presence. We know you're here, though we cannot see you. It's been witnessed to us. Camera caught us. The prophet identified all these things, Lord. Make us to know the truth of your wonderful presence. You're here in the way you have not been here for 2,000 years since the time of the Apostle Paul. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us in the study of your word that you gave. And the shout, Father, the message has come forth, the message that foreruns the second coming. We just ask you to help us now. Teach us your word, Lord, and may we understand. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on, I believe, number 12. Who is this Melchizedek? And we're at page 15. I think right around 15, yes. In this subject, and at this point that we've been studying, Brother Branham has pointed out that we as sons of God did not come exactly the same way into human existence as did Jesus, for he was given a word body or spirit body previously before he came in flesh, whereas we bypassed the word body to come directly to a flesh body for the purpose of being tested and tempted by sin. Now, that's a very arbitrary statement, and it's very arbitrary on the part of God, and of course people might misunderstand it simply that we had to come and get tested by sin and temptation, and it doesn't sound very thrilling or very conducive to a person to want to believe the gospel. But however, you'll find here that the Bible speaks of God having a purpose. In Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And then in Romans, we also find some scripture mentioning the purpose of God. In the 11th verse of Romans 9, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And we know the eventual purpose of God is to bring many sons into glory, just exactly as the scripture shows us in the book of Hebrews, and we read it many, many times. Now, the thought of the testing, that we are here for that particular purpose, we'll look at some scripture, be a little devotional at this point, in the book of Deuteronomy, and beginning at the first verse and reading to about verse 10. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live. Now that's a reiteration of what happened in the Garden of Eden when God spoke to Adam, particularly, that he must listen to the word. And of course Eve got from behind it, and she fell, and thereby brought the whole human race into sin because Adam followed right in behind her. Now he said, to command thee this day to observe and to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to approve thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, the land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, depths that spring out of the valley and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein there shall eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Of course, we're looking at that in the sense of pointing down to the millennium when people get there. But you notice in here particularly that God has predestinated a people to a predestinated word, and they have the opportunity of living with the word by first of all accepting it, then accepting the strength that God gives whereby they might live the word, and then also whether they will acquiesce to the word so that the strength that God gives them, they'll be able to live in and obey the word. Now, according to what you see here, if you are not looking at God deliberately leading you to the place where he wants to deal with you harshly, that is not so. What he does is put the word before us, and as we walk in the word, then he takes us a step further to walk in more word, and always there is a blessing which goes with that word. So that a child coming up in complete obedience under its parents, and then under its parent God, could absolutely walk in a life and a light that is absolutely blessed and very wonderful of the Lord. Now, in the meantime, you'll notice here that these people, being away from God for a long, long time, and God bringing them back under Moses, they lived in a place of indecision as to whether they'd really serve the Lord or not. Now, they saw his power, and they saw his might as he moved them out of Egypt preparatory to moving them into the promised land. But you notice in the meantime, in spite of all the miracles, in spite of everything that they had given manifestly from God so that they would know better, there was nothing inside to respond to the evidence that God gave himself whereby they would walk in the word, and they made themselves golden calves and licentious living and everything else. They went right into it. Of course, then God just absolutely had to destroy them because they positively would not go in the way of the Lord. Now, those people are a lot like they are in America today. Let me read you something to get you the mentality of America and what you got in the Senate. And this is a Democrat. By the way, and I'm not a Republican per se, but I would never vote Democrat. I wouldn't even vote the man, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't under certain conditions. I'd be more apt to vote a man than I would a party. But I don't vote. The House voted 299 to 111 on Thursday for an administration-backed amendment to an omnibus drug bill that calls for a federal death penalty for persons who kill in the course of drug-related felonies. Opponents of the Senate had said they may stage a filibuster if a similar amendment is proposed. Now, Representative William Clay, Democrat of Missouri, who opposed the death penalty, asked. Now, listen. If you've ever heard such unmitigated, asinine corruption in your life, listen now. How can you kill people who kill people to teach people who kill people that killing people is wrong? You don't. They already know better. They've already been taught. Why do you give parking tickets to people who know better than to park in a certain place? Why give speeding tickets to people who know better than to drive fast? This man destroys the whole law. And you know what? The clown will be voted in again. Because there's a lot of clowns voting for clowns. Didn't the song recently make a song that's very popular, "Bring on, where are the clowns? Bring on the clowns." Well, let's go to Washington. Why have laws? You don't teach people who kill. You annihilate them. They've had their chance. You say, well, Brother Branham didn't believe. Now, just a minute. Brother Branham never said he didn't believe in it. He was opposed on the grounds that the rich man and the white man got off and the black man didn't and the poor man didn't. But William Branham, being a prophet, cannot go against Genesis 9 and 6 that says categorically, whosoever sheddeth blood, by man shall his blood be shed. He never said that. Somebody else, your brother Branham, said, well, God didn't kill Cain. He couldn't. The serpent seed would have been gone. So, well, Brother Vail, I don't believe in killing them. Put them away for life. And then don't do what they did to Pereira's son. Give him a $1,500 a week or month apartment with maid service, beer service, wine service, and I suppose also a whore service. He wanted it at government expense. I'm talking about the Bible this morning, what God does. He passed His word and His law, and He wants obedience, or you get clobbered. And if He refuses to line up, He cleans you up and takes you out. Amen. Now, there's a purpose beyond the simple fact that God puts His word in front of you to see what you'll do about it. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we'll read one verse there, 11, just to start with. Now, no chastening for the present seed to be joyous. Now, why do you chasten somebody? I suppose mother says, now, honey, she got a nice little 12-year-old girl, and she says, now, honey, I want you to bring the milk and the butter and the eggs and the flour, and the step by step she'll make a cake. And the cake is wonderful. The mother goes, fat, 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 for doing a good job. Oh, come on. She said, honey, beautiful. That's the loveliest cake I've ever seen, or anybody's ever seen. It's a masterpiece. We put it on the table. We enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to give you a little special treat. You've been wanting that nice silk yellow dress for a long time. I'm going to buy it for you, because you've been a good girl. Now, do you think God's any different? What is this all about? No chastening for the present seed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Now, it tells you right here that people who learn discipline, who learn conduct according to the laws of Almighty God, are a happy, blessed people, and they're peaceful and they're fruitful. The person that won't listen to the word is unfruitful. Let's start at the very beginning of the chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, faith is the thing that must be tested. See? Absolutely. In your soul, you've got the privilege of doubting or believing. And if you believe, you'll go with it. In other words, you'll walk. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was the discipline. Now, that was written for Jesus Christ, not for you and me. He went to the cross and died for you and me. That was the discipline. And notice what it says here. It said, for the joy that was set before him. There was something set before him. And that's what God does. He uses the principle of setting something before you. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, blessing or cursing. Now, you can never find a blessing in cursing, and you can't find a cursing in blessing. They don't mix. You have one or the other. And when you have the one and you follow God, you can depend on the blessing. Now, that's something we just don't understand enough of. We've got to get to understanding it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that you be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, where does the trouble come in? It comes in with these sinners and the mess that's in the world here. Now, what is our attitude toward it? How do we meet it? How do we live in it? If you live with the Word of God, there'll be no trouble at all. Now, it says, you're not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have you forgotten the exhortation? Speak it unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the training, the chastening, the training. In other words, the correcting. God forming you and molding you. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. In other words, when you fail, he's got to say, stop right there. That's what's wrong with our school system. First of all, the parents formed the parent association, parent-teacher association, or the teacher did with the parents. They thought they'd get some of the load off themselves. But they didn't do it. The teachers found that the parents throws more and more and more of a load upon the teachers. So the teachers were in a bind. because the parents will not really cooperate. Now the parents have turned on the teachers because they don't want any discipline. Now you've got, what, 23 million illiterates in America. What's it, 23 million or worse? I think the last figure, 23 million. Every now and then, Reader's Digest runs an article of somebody that went all the way through school. I won't mention his name, but I understand there's a very fine boy. Everybody loves him, and he would love his father and mother, believe the message, and he can hardly read. Are you going to go to school, college, son? No, he said, I can't read. Where's the taxpayer's money gone? Now, the teacher can't bump heads anymore and say, look, you will learn this, or whap, whap. Now, she's not going to knock his brains out. It wouldn't hurt, maybe knock some brains in. Look, I went through the old school. Boy, I tell you, you look cross-eyed at your teacher, she'd call you up and she'd raise blisters on your hand. Your hand would swell an inch and a half thick. And no principal and nobody ever dared say one word, and that kid did not get into the crappy mischief to get into today. I'm not saying you're going to beat your heads off to make it work, but I'm telling you something here. There of necessity must be a discipline concerning that which is law, and there's a discipline concerning God's law. But God doesn't whap anybody around if he's doing a good job. But he will increasingly put the word out before the person, so there's deeper depths and higher heights, and he pays a price for it. I've come to a certain place in my life and I paid a price for it. And the price was just one thing, discipline. And the discipline of the mind comes a million times ahead of anything else, and it's the mind that receives the Word of God. That's the greatest battle right there. Now it tells you right here that even Jesus Christ, and he had the same life that you and I had, but he was the fullness of the attributes of God manifested, and we are just one little attribute. Each one of you is a very special member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a very special attribute, and a very special little part of God's life. Now, God being the great mind of the universe, he's the omniscient one, Spirit. He wants us to walk in his word. Now, it says here, if you endure correction, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father doesn't train and chasten? Correct. That's the idea. In fact, there's a Greek word for it. You cannot learn without suffering. And that is true. Because every child will like to fool around, skip rope, just run around and mess with the flowers or just mess with anything. But get right down and study. A child doesn't like it. There are not too many. But when you get that child to really understand certain rudiments, then he appreciates it. Oh, Dr. Lokes. No, he wasn't Dr. Lokes. He was a master of science, but M.E. Master of arts, but he wasn't a doctor. He said, my father did the right thing by us as children. When he saw us begin to reach for the little two-bit paperbacks, and believe me, they were like Jack and the Beanstalk to what you're reading now. You reach for paperback, it's the most horrendous filth in the world. Why, it corrupt a goat, let alone a child. Why, he said, when he saw us reading those westerns, he said he hitched up the old horse one day to the buckboard, and he said he went in there and he brought back a whole library of good books, and he put them on the shelf, didn't say a word. And he said, from that day on, we read nothing but literature. And I want to tell you, that old boy, when he taught us, and he recited the Ancient Mariner, and he read the Bible, or he read anything, he spoke just like a Charles Lawton. He was the most beautiful person, speaker I've ever heard in my life, outside of Charles Lawton. Or it would be the Lord Jesus Christ, would be only rank above those fellows. Why? Because their minds were trained, and they went into those things that fed them and fed them good. And the feeding of the mind by the Word of God is what counts. And when people do not do it, then God has got to correct them. You see, God wants to bring them to this place over here in Hebrews, the second chapter he spoke of the other day. He said, in here, in verse 12, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ associated with every single son of God and praising God. Why? Because God has brought forth this beautiful bride that's in the image of Jesus Christ. And the Bible, and we'll read a little further. I'm going to give you some more verses of Scripture on it. Now it says, if you are without chastisement, without training, without being hauled up short, without being corrected, without being literally forced into certain areas and patterns, he said, you're nothing but an illegitimate. You're not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. If today you can't get it. A woman just phoned me the other day, and she said, my husband will not correct the kids. So she got a 10-year-old sassing her back all the time. And she said, look, you can't be in that skirt the way you are, like with those old hobble, you know, those tight-fitting skirts. You need the pleat at the back, where all the way up to your the middle of your back. What do we want to wear them for anyway? Put a pleat in the thing. It's wrong. And here this girl dressing like a little simp right now, running out, staying overnight. Mother said, no, don't stay overnight. So she phoned her dad. Oh, it's okay. See? It's all right. He believes in that. Then if she doesn't phone the dad, she stays anyway. So this little snip told her, but she, mother said, now take that skirt off. Well, she said, then I'll just wear my slacks. She knows she's not supposed to wear slacks. That kid's as illegitimate as all get out unless that mother can, unless there's something down the road for her. Do you think you can let kids get away with things when it's against the Word of God? You are insane this morning, spiritually insane, you women, you men. Listen, the chips will soon be down. Then don't come screaming to me. I might as well tell you some more stories. Went down and visited in Port Arthur many, many years ago. There's this fellow, he was formerly a Church of Christ. I think he said he's Pentecost now, believe the message. And you know, I've got a very flipped tongue and I shouldn't flip it so often. And I don't know what possessed me that day. His name was Simons. And I said, Brother, which Simon are you, Simon Peter, Simon the Sorcerer? I don't say it was of God, but it sure wasn't of the devil. It was of God in this respect. He proved to be Simon the Sorcerer. She had a beautiful wife and a beautiful young girl. She is the loveliest creature you'll ever see in your life. But I knew the way the mother was going right now that that girl would end up pregnant and a mess. And she did. The mother died of cancer. And the girl threw away her life. Why? Because her mother would not instruct her and see that she did right. Now, you mother, I'm going to tell you flat. Don't come to me, it's too late. Because God laughs in your face, and I might do worse than that. Because I'm not God, I'm not nice. But discipline is necessary. And discipline consists of having a moral principle. And that moral principle is always defined by words. So God lays down word and he lays down law. Now, no chastening for this time being seems joyous. I don't like to be curbed. You don't want to be curbed. Kids don't want to be curbed. But I'll tell you something. There's something about a yoke that is very wonderful. And that is if you're yoked to something or somebody that really knows what he or she is really doing and can lead the way, it is marvelous that you'll come out exactly right. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, get with the Word of God because I am the Word of God manifested in flesh. Now this film by Scorsese wants to make Jesus a very immoral man. Of course, they had to do it by saying he's hallucinating now because he's under drugs or something on the cross. There's no place in hell hot enough for that bunch to burn, and I'm going to stand back and watch them as far as I'm concerned because they know better. Amen. Now, brother, sister, let's get this flat. People know better. Children know better. I know better. You know better. Every one of us knows better than do the things we're doing. Don't kid ourselves for 1 minute. Even simple things aren't being done. Now it says here, it'll yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, there can come a time under the discipline of Almighty God that you will automatically walk in the Word because you have become trained to it. Look how easy it is to turn into your own house. Let's say like maybe next month you move three doors down. You'll find yourself moving in just with automatic trying to turn in the gate because you're used to going there. See, you don't break old habits, you build new ones. But after you've gone down the road enough time to know exactly where your new gate is, you'll keep turning in there. See, takes a while to learn. And then you say, well, look, I'm doing the right thing now. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down on people's knees. Now, a lot of people don't want to be corrected. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. He's telling you here how you cut it off. You let people help you. And I don't mean some nosy, big-mouthed guy that's not living the life himself, running around causing problems. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. You that have gone down the road. That's why I can talk to certain people along certain lines, and I cannot talk along certain other lines. It's no use. I can tell you many things where I've been, and how I've overcome what God has done, and what you live in that atmosphere. I can tell you those things. Because I can comfort you with the comfort where I was comforted of God when I went through my problems. But if you haven't been through it, you can't tell anybody anything. Now here's Jesus. He didn't have to go through, but he did go through. Now why did he go through? Because he's the high priest to help you and me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Paul finally said, I can do all things by the Christ who lives within me. I'm a master of circumstances. I can go down that road and I can live that life. And it can be lived, brother, sister. That is the whole thing. It can be lived. Now, I'm not going to get to this part of the sermon, I don't suppose. But I'm going to take my time on this. And if I get to it, I'll get to it. But in the meantime, now watch. It said, make straight paths your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Now it says right here, look. You, the people that have trouble, you know, maybe you're a little bit weak in a certain area. And you know, people, when they're weak in a certain area, what do? They gravitate toward the very thing. Look at Jimmy Swagger standing in the pulpit. Big Holy Ghost man, hallelujah. Baker the same way. Listen, they were tempted within that very pattern, and they gravitated toward it, and they got sucked into it. That's right. Baker says his wife didn't satisfy him because she was running off somebody else. Then the logical thing to do is to have the thing out and if necessary, divorce her. And if you're that kind of a man, you can't live without a woman, then leave the ministry and go with her wife. But no, they've got to put a big show on. Now where are they? And it's white throne now, brother, sister. Don't you understand we're getting big examples out here in the world of white throne? I don't have to worry about 1,000 dear years down the road. If I am preaching you the truth this morning, it is white throne now. I am already judged because the judge is here. And I said before, here he is right there. Right above the prophet. Because God's the judge of all the earth, the righteous judge. Here in a flame of fire, I lead his millennium. Absolutely. As I already told you, you look up the word God in the Greek and Hebrew, and in every single instance, the major root is magistrate, which means a judge. And a magistrate is usually somebody picked from among the people. And Christ was picked from among the people. He's one of us. Yes, sir, the judge. Fall at peace with, now it says here, make straight paths. Get away from the things that have your weakness. And the book of James tells us, confess your faults. And people think confessing your faults means to tell what you did. No. Now they want Swagger to go to a psychiatrist. The Assemblies of God want him to go to a psychiatrist. Why don't they go to the Bible? Why was Swagger so dumb? When he had the problem, he should have talked to his wife and then taken a real man of God. And you shouldn't pray, because don't ever spill your guts to anybody. They'll cut your throat and throw your guts all around the yard. They'll do it. I don't even need to spill mine. They'll tell lies about me, like the guy north of here. Spread all around the country. The brother Bass supposed to look into my soul as black as night. So I phoned and said, where did he get it? And I traced it down. It wasn't said about me at all. I'm looking at you because I think you might know the person. I'll pull my punches here. This is our church. And I got the biggest stake in the two. Yeah, I won't mention the figure. But I got the biggest stake in it. All right, I preach what I want here because I want to preach the word of Almighty God. We are disciples of Christ and learners, and we are under the yoke, we are under the rod, there is a word to be obeyed. Can't even get people to obey the word, so much the more as you see the day approach the rapture, come together more and more. Don't ever give up your Friday night services. Once in a while is okay, but you get together with that word and you talk it because that's your life. If you've got a ball game or some woman's club or some kid's club you want to run to, you don't really belong here. Or stick around if you want, but you ain't part of the game. Understand this, the church come first. I've tried to make an example of that. Except the time I've been desperately sick, I've been right here, and I've been desperately sick in this pulpit. Where I got sick 4 years ago, I'll never forget the day young Peter came in, and I knew Peter needed the word of God, a new convert amongst us. I stood there so desperately sick, but I preached. Hanging on the pulpit, I've sat down in the chair to do it. Why? Because it's life. And I sure am no example of nothing. But to lead you straight, no way. Fall at peace with all men. Holiness. In other words, you get your own life lined up in this thing, those things out of the way. That you got a fault. I'm talking about in James, you got a fault, confess it. It doesn't mean personal and individual sins. It means where you got a problem. Everybody knows my problem. I pop off. I can get mad in a hurry and just hurry cool down. Will I ever lick it? Stick around and find out. It's getting better all the time, but not the way it should be. Want your money? Hate you, this, that? Never. You can't pin it on me. Let you down? You can't pin it on me. You can't do it. No siree, brother, sister. When you're honest before God and honest with your fellow man, you're on the right track. Don't let that thing go by the board. And think you won't pay a price, it'll get you every single time. It'll keep coming back at you and back at you like Israel wandering on the mountain 40 solid years on nearly 11 miles to go and wandered 40 years. My Lord, I think I could walk 11 miles in one day if I took a breather. Couldn't get in. He hadn't made straight paths. Hadn't got things out of their lives. Hadn't lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. Then it says, when you're dealing with yourself, deal with your fellow man. Fall at peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. Now, he doesn't say, look at here. I'm going to tell you people something. If you don't live a certain kind of a life, you ain't going to make it. It doesn't say that. It tells you flat that the certain kind of people live a certain kind of life, and they do get to see the Lord. And they get in there. You bet they do. Another thing, too, if you do these things here, you don't do them, you'll never see the Lord. You never understand what God's doing. You can't do it. See, you got to stand with that word. You got to believe that word. Then you got to let that word begin to work in your life because it's a conduit of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost begins to work. You confess your faults, confess your sins, make things right within yourself and with God, with your fellow man. You watch how God becomes more and more visible. How is God going to get visible out here in a disobedient world? We're in some Pentecostal church was all hip-a-raw, and you hip-a-raw your sins away. Remember years ago, Horace King was a Oxford group movement, Buckman. And so there's a good Nazarene fellow friend of mine named Tom Sturdy. These men are all dead, like Levi, and I know Tom Sturdy is. He was a nice fella. He's Nazarene. One day he finally realized that baptism with the Holy Ghost was real, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke with tongues. Which was fine. He didn't have to. He stood in the meeting one morning in the Pentecost church, and he said, "I owe you people an apology. I've slandered you for 40 solid years." Just told him what it was. Now, he got Horace King coming. Horace is a very fine guy, businessman. But you know, it was a Buckmanite. You start by having a group of people like this in your homes, and you get up and you say, "You know, I want to tell you folks something. I've met Jesus Christ, and I'm glad I did, because..." As Tom used to say, look, as a young kid, he said, "I stole cigarette papers and made cigarettes, but as I got older, I could lift heavier things." And he let you know, and he would spill his guts, everything, and tell you every single sin he did, and saying, "Look, at Jesus made me free." He said, "You're longing for the same kind of freedom. Why don't you get your life to Jesus?" And he had a good sweeping revival. They had some fine, fine Christians who really lived the life, like the old Keswick Conference, the old Puritans. You know, the bottle full of stones, pour in the water. Now I got a jar that's full of water. Oh, no, you ain't. You keep taking out the stones until it's full of water. So the Holy Ghost helps us with our wills to take these things out. As Brother Branham taught, then you're really full of the Holy Ghost and you're really sealed by God. You're really walking. As a living statue, he called it. I think that's wonderful. He's referring to the heathen religion where they believe that the Spirit can come in even to a statue. And that statue could actually move. And then the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the gods, like they practice in Haiti and places, can come into you, and you'll come into your room, like in a dazed condition, and they say the Spirit of God is in him, and they just watch the man move. And anything he touches is sanctified. Anything is holy. Eat any food. Do anything. That's God. Well, Brother Branham was telling you the truth of it. In him we live and move and have our being. And he lives and moves in us and has his being. We and the Father are one through the work of the Son. But anyway, they were good people. And so I remember Horace King, we took him to a Pentecostal camp meeting. He looked us all over. He didn't sneer, but he was a little ironical, not sarcastic. He said, "I recognize there's sin in your camp, and they're covering it up by shouting." Now, how could he know that the rest of Pentecostal didn't? You know why? Because they're happy to cover up their sin with their shouting. They were already on the verge of the anointing. And they were already getting the anointing, though they themselves were phonies. That's what that... Isn't that right, brother? That brother I mentioned last night went back to Pentecostalism. Charismatic. Brother here I met years ago in the West. It's business day, Brother Bailey. He knew. He knew the cover-up. You know, Christianity, so-called, and churchianity, whether it's a shout or not, can be a very great cover-up, and it's nothing but hypocrisy. I would sooner see people who just let go what they are than to pretend, because one day you're going to let go anyway. Because there's nobody that wonderful that can keep himself in check and not spill the beans some way. It's just like I told you that the poor Roman Catholics, they decided they're going to make the Bible fit their own understanding, purgatory, this and that. But you know something? There's so many thousands of verses in that Bible. There is no concordant version Protestant. There is no Roman Catholic. There is no Greek Catholic. There is no Anglican. There is nobody who can make the Bible say exactly what they wanted to say, because there's too many thousand verses in it. And God will see that they leave in some of the best verses. So no matter if you read the Douay version or the Dialogue or what you read, you will still get the Word of God somehow, somewhere reached through to you. So I say you and I could have 100,000 ruses and 100,000 cover-ups. It's not going to be the answer. We got to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God by virtue of the fact we are walking in the light, and peace with God by virtue of the fact we're walking with each other. And then we are to the place where John says, if we walk in the light, as he the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing. Yeah. Now, brother, sister, we can have that kind of a church, and to have anything less is ridiculous. And I will keep hammering. I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I hurt my own feelings talking this way. Because if I point one finger at you, I got at least three turned backwards. So that's 3 out of 5 against me, and you're not half bad off at that rate. Now it says here, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any profane before, now they can understand what that means. They say, you go this way, you're going to have a bitter church that's full of trouble and defilement. You have got to walk this way. And listen, brother, sister, this is where we are today, tested and tried by sin and tempted everything else, and I haven't got to the main point yet. We're just telling you that these things have got to be. And he said, lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully. Now you know that's Hebrews 6. You can seek repentance until the seventh church age. And after the seventh church age message, there is no more repentance. Either you go this way or you're finished because there's no more word. No more place to change your mind. How people can say Joseph is here with the message? I like what the kid says. He says every single time, Brother Branham said it all. If Joe Branham's got something to say, he better quote his dad, and he does. He's a good boy. I wish it weren't so hard on him, but the kid's got a terrible, terrible time with people trying to force him into everything. Now let's go to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. If you want to pray for somebody, you pray for that boy. He's basically a very, very, very fine boy. Now, in Romans, the fifth chapter, here's what you're looking at. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is at perfect peace with us. Do we have perfect peace with Him? No, when we disbelieve His word or flout it. Now read on. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand. That's your standing. You stand absolutely. What is your condition? However you believe God and make it. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, we're looking down the end of the trail. When we're born again, we're looking down the end of the trail for the glory that shall be revealed in us. The same glory that Christ had. And not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or trials works patience. And patience, character, not experience. Character. And character brings us to an earnest expectation. Yes, in His glory I'm going to shine, because I'm identified with Him in my peregrinations or my travels in this earth. And then it says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. And it tells you right here, going through this experience, time after time after time, getting rid of this, getting rid of that, standing the ground, brings us to the place where the love of God is seared into us. And the whole life becomes one of appreciation and love because it works. But not enough people stand steady to make it work. Even simple thoughts I give you on giving. And you know I don't preach here to get anybody to give anything. I'll give it all back. You can get a check right now if you think you put money in this church. Go ahead. I'm trying to teach you something. God knows my heart. If you don't know my heart, I care less. It's white throne. I went through certain courses. Those courses work, and you'll sit here and you'll do nothing. And if you can't even get that little stupid financial thing worked out in your life, you'll get nothing else working out in your life because the Bible says so. So, Brother Bale, how spiritual. You are spiritual like friend. You've been deceived by the devil already. Now, I'm not asking you understand this. I challenge anybody who's born. Say, Brother Bale, you do want our money. Come up here right now. Here's it open. It's on tape. It's on a film. I challenge you. God's my judge. I might like money like anybody else in this church. You'd never hear me say those things. In fact, I'm scared for you people. Now, it's not that I don't love you and have confidence. I do, but I know people. I know the way the devil gets in. If we had depression tomorrow, the money that's owed on this building would drive some of you people away, because you would say right now, oh, I'm not going to give. I can't afford it. You'd be scared of a debt. Let me tell you something. Before too long, I'll have enough bonds, take the interest and pay the whole church off, $50,000 to go. Out of $200,000+. I'll stand in the gap. You know why? Not to be proud. Not as if this is my church and else. But I don't want to see people hurting division. I've been through it. I've seen how people can cut and tear a minister and ruin a ministry. When they said they stand behind him. And a buck got in the way. And some of you sitting here, you would give everything you got, and I've seen you do it. No, I don't want to see you do it. The rest of you sit here and grab everything you can get. I'm not taking your hair. I'm just telling you some truth this morning. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Maybe you won't come back Wednesday. Well, so you won't have it too bad. Sunday, you won't have it too bad, Lloyd. Nobody here. When I get here, back on the following Sunday, I'm better than anybody because I want to retire anyway. I'm not kidding. I'm being a little facetious to break your attention, baby, but God is the judge up here. I preach these things. Listen. All right. We read it. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We'll get out of here just in nice time so I can get out of here with you. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and in verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, brother, why am I reading this? Because Brother Branham said we were sent down here in a body of flesh in order to withstand temptation. And notice what it says. Glorify Him in your spirit and in your bodies. In other words, you have the revealed truth and you try to live it. Not just say this and that, but live it. See? Now let's go a little further. We want to go to John 17 now. Now he told to glorify Him. Now let's get here some something really pretty here, really beautiful. John 17, 45. I have glorified thee on earth. What did he do? He lived that word, though it caused him his death. Paul lived that word, it caused his death. Daniel lived that word, it almost caused his death. The Hebrew children lived the word, almost caused their death. Everybody doesn't die. Polycarp died, but John the Revelator did not die. They tried to boil him in oil. It wouldn't work, so they banished the guy. Said, get him out of here, he's too tough for us. Polycarp was put to the stake. The flames bent all around him. They wouldn't come near him. And a fellow took a long sword and hit his side. The water rushed out of his side. What did he do? Put the flame out. But a dove came down, the form of a dove. Okay. Let me read the next verse. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. You know something? God will clean a man up and he'll never finish the work God gave him to do. And some people won't go so far where God has to clean them up and take them. So they mumble, 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 and finally die, and they never finish the work. How do you like it if your hand does not do the work your body wants to do? How do I like it this morning? It's miserable, stupid arthritis in this joint. Hardly reach, oh, this is too bad. Should be my right hand. I couldn't get my wallet that way. Hardly get to my handkerchief in the back pocket. Or take a scrub my back in the shower. Reach down, pick up something. How does my body like it? It's not doing the work it's supposed to do. Well, you're hindered. What about the body of Christ or the body of church believers? We say, give me a task to do. I don't give you any task. This is spiritual I'm talking this morning. Everybody's got something to do. Everyone's got a little gift. Maybe just being cheerful, being kind to somebody, extra nice smile, extra good handshake. I don't know. I don't know what you got, what you're here, but everybody's got some kind of gift from God, and your very nature's in it. And you and I know when our nature's not, right? We should have it tuned up. Okay, listen, let's keep going. I have glorified thee on earth, finished the word, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, I don't have my board here. I don't need it here. But I'm going to tell you something. We were just as much in God as Jesus Christ was. Are we going to get back there? Absolutely. We're going to get back there in a glorified form. And we're going to get that back there according to our status. And remember, the Bible speaking of the resurrection, it says there's one glory of the stars, there's one of the moon, there's one of the suns. So is the resurrection. You and I come up in a various state of various glory according to not only our placing, but I believe according to how we lived. Because it said, let no man beguile you of your words, and let no man take your crown. Okay. Kind of an odd sermon I'm preaching, more than it. Yeah, odd sermon. I don't care about it. I don't mind odd sermons. It's a little devotional. Now, see? Now look at. Let's go back to 1 Peter now, the 5th chapter, so we can sort of run this through. Peter 5, verse 5 and 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What did he mean by that? He said, look, I've learned to suffer with him, and I'm going to get the same glory. It's already mine. You talk about white throne judgment. He already had it back there. He said, look, I know what's in my hand. I've got it. Your brother, sister, this morning, do you realize under this message, we can follow Brother Branham, that great and wonderful servant of God, and we can know that already, and we have passed the white throne judgment as far as depart from me and so on. The bride has been pronounced here the righteous, sinless virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. Not guilty. Do you know right now we can know if we are laying up treasure in heaven? We might not know how much. But we can know because the Bible says so. Now, I'm not fussing at you people as though you haven't been doing it. As I said many, many times, I would never trade this congregation for anybody in the world. I don't believe there's a group of people got as a cross-section, have a finer spirit, and dig in as you people do. I don't believe anybody. There's great big churches. I wouldn't trade it for 405. You couldn't give them to me. First of all, they wouldn't want me because I preach too straight. And I don't wump you up. You want to get wumped up? Go out there and wump up. Here's where you get to learn things. You don't have a little kid running around church saying, teacher. Stop kidding, sit down, listen. That's where this church is. You think other churches want the way we preach? Ha! That's why they come once and never come back. Doesn't bother me. As far as I'm concerned, they're not coming in the first place. You want to sit and listen, learn something? Fine. Come and tell you something. Something is going on, brother, sister, because of this word. And I'm not so old I don't know it, because I do know it. Never stood here and told you lying. I don't know not what to tell you that, or try to jazz you up. No way. Now let's go to Romans 8 chapter. Because here's what we're looking at. And remember, this is the inscrutable wisdom of God, which he already tells us is what? Foolishness to man. Now, if I were God, or if I could predestinate, I would certainly have every girl in my house born to us, and my wife wouldn't have any pain whatsoever with childbirth, and the child would come perfectly normal and beautiful, and they'd have lovely, lovely features and lovely, lovely figures, and my sons, you ought to see what my sons would be. In other words, if you could do it, you'd do it. Then why deny God? Well, I say, well, I believe in a free moral agency. I want you to find that word in the Bible, free moral and agency. I'm with Dr. Pink on that. So Brother Branham used it. Yeah, but listen how he used it. If he didn't use it like the world out here used it. There's a freedom of choice. And you can make a moral choice or a wrong choice. I'd like to find the word in the Bible, agency. I can't find it, except through Jesus Christ was the agency. God created all things through the agency of Jesus Christ. If you use that word, you got to use it very carefully. All right, let's go here. Romans 8 chapter, we'll get the picture. 14:18. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, there's a place in God through the baptism with the Holy Ghost where the sunlight is bright and the path is clear and the way is known. We don't have to be bogged down. You can come to the place where you know exactly who you are and what you're to do. Now, I'm 74 within the next couple of weeks. What's the date? 11 today? Okay, 17 days to go. I'm 70, I have lived 74 complete years. Long, long time ago now. Long time ago. I knew my calling. Before that, I knew it. And I hated it. I dickered with God, but he wouldn't dicker. God does not play poker with anything but a stacked deck of cards. He'll lick you every time. It's already written in the book. I showed you on the record up there on the blackboard. The whiteboard. Call it what you want. Okay, let's go over it again. Now listen, the Spirit itself bears witness our spirit that we're the children of God. Now listen, that is the primary lesson that should be learned through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and it's never been learned because of legalism. How many of us here this morning recognize that we are seed, period? Now you say, well, I'm sure I'm seed. I could be good seed or bad seed. I'm not talking of that. I'm not addressing serpent seed this morning. I'm addressing God's seed. That's a little bit tough. to a serpent seed, I'd say, well, I'll tell you what. I can give you some good books to help you to get worse. Get you out of here. Because that's what you want anyway, if you're sitting here. But if you want something different, we're going to go to the difference. See? And the Spirit now, and if children, then heirs. Now watch, it says then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, what you're looking at is this. We came from the intrinsic glory. We're going to go back to the intrinsic glory. But that glory is all God's glory, which always was. But when you're a child of God that comes under obedience to the world, you then make your own glory. Jesus said, I've glorified you on earth. He didn't say, Father, you made me glorify you. He didn't say, Father, you glorified. He said, Father, I've glorified you on earth. Now, if you and I want to glorify God, it's to obey the word of Almighty God. You say, well, just a minute. You mean if I give a glass of cold water? Yes, you've glorified God. Well, you mean if I pay tithes? Now, look at me. That's just the truth. Sure I have. Pay him all of that. You glorify God. Well, there's somebody needs help. So I give him some money. You glorified God. You found a child doing the wrong thing. You corrected the child. You glorified God. You found a sick person. You prayed. You glorified God. Someone in prison. You went and saw him. You glorified God. You witnessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You glorified God. Husbands love your wives. You glorified God. Wives obey your husband. You glorified God. What were you looking for? Build some great big mammoth stadium and invite Billy Graham in? Hogwash. That's about the last way to do it. He ain't going to preach the truth. You already told the Catholics they preach the same gospel. They made him a doctor. Now, if Billy Graham is spared, he better bring one of the priests in or cardinals and make him a doctor and, you know. I think Billy Graham's kind of a chicken giver. He didn't fare at all to the Catholics. They glorified him and done a good job. Spallone is his good buddy and Cushing. What has he done for him? Well, I will admit the Catholics just said a very true thing. They said, you go to Billy Graham, get converted, you make a better convert for us than ever. I think I'd kind of looked that one over. Could you believe for 1 minute they said that about Brother Branham? Why, we're the off-scouring of the earth. Now they got me putting words in Brother Branham's mouth, but I didn't. I don't know who lied about that, but I can tell you exactly what they said. They lied, because they didn't. They don't know the English language, and I do. They don't know the word, but I do. Too bad for him, just too bad, because I got to meet him pretty soon down the road. The day after tomorrow, I'll be facing him. Yeah, day after tomorrow. 24 hours, God's time. I'm not afraid. I know exactly what was said and why it was said. Now listen, glorified if you suffer. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's going on now, but up there, you watch it break forth like the light of the sun. Okay. Let's go a little further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to get back to Brother Branham's message for just a few minutes. Or we'll just quit right now. Come back to it later on. It's the third chapter. And Paul here says, where the Spirit of God is, the veil is taken away and you've got a liberty. A liberty to serve God because the power of God is in you by the Word. We have the Word of God in us today. If it's truly the right Word, which we believe it is, it all depends if we're the right people and got the right Word. I mean, understand it. And taking the right understanding of it. Then that's the conduit of the Holy Ghost, and it will bring forth the people of this hour, which is a super, super race approaching unto Jesus Christ. They'll have the Word and know what to do with it. How do you get that by running around just be happy, 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 as though that's it? Anything goes. Pulpit filled with preachers all the time, everybody contradicting each other. Preacher says he's a pastor and he's running around the country, he ain't half the time home. Right. Hey. I'm not even a legitimate pastor, but I can pastor, I'm allowed to. It's part of the fivefold gifts. I'm a teacher. How come I'm not running? You know why? Brother Branham himself said, I've been across America He said, for then for the last time. He said, 50 souls came in. Who knows if they got saved? It's all saying that all fished out. I stick with you people because you're wonderful people. I believe you're the choicest in the world, the people of Almighty God. Not rough at times, not rough on myself. Because this word must be understood, obeyed, and lived regardless. And there's no big sneer, and there's no big joke, and there's no big excuse. We're stuck. We're stuck, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody says. Now listen. But we all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Now, how are you getting that glory? You are getting that glory by the outworking of the Word of God in you and me as we become submissive to the Word against our own thinking and against our own will as human beings. But because of the Christ in us and the mind of Christ, and fully revealed today, we can positively be in this people and be this people. And it's an increasing glory. And this is the last stage it's going to be in. And we're the last people who are going to have an opportunity. Except for the 144,000 Jews. Now Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things as honesty, and so on. And then it said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. The gods of this world have blinded their eyes. And then we're going right up to the 17th, up to the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Brother Branham had a supernatural picture of that very thing happening. You know the picture with the flames of fire up front and the big exaggerated lilies and the death's head behind him and Brother Branham standing up front? Brother, the word of the Lord came and said, he said that the picture at the back of you is the old man dying. It's vanishing. It's wasting away. But the other is of the inner man being renewed. And that's what's happening right today in this message. If you and I are truly born again, and the word of immortality, because this is the hour for it, is in us, our very atoms are going through some kind of a change now. In other words, the full potential for the sudden blast when it sweeps over us. But I'm going to tell you, nothing's going to sweep over anybody that hasn't got the word. Just isn't going to do it. Something's got to happen to make something else happen. Brother Branham threw up the rock, and we didn't know until just recently the delicate falling of a rock can bring on a tornado. I was so surprised and thrilled to hear it. Who brought me that article? Where'd that come from? Brian or somebody? Somebody brought the article, given to me. And a scientist that knows all these things. And he didn't know about Brother throwing a rock up. He said just the slightest move can upset that balance that's up there. And boom, cuts in, she's gone. Yes, sir. You got to do something to make something happen. Before that sweep comes over anybody, we have got to believe the word, and that word's got to be there. Channels of our mind must be clogged up. You know, if we could come to church every single day and esteem it more than our necessary food or meat, which means above our labors and anything else we do. And I'm not saying quit your job and come here. I'm just telling you the premium God puts on it. Why? Because this is eternal. People sing the song, and in his glory I'll shine. I shall be like him. Wonders are like him. Jesus, my Savior divine, and they know no more about him than nothing. Because the revelation lies in that word. The only begotten hath drawn him forth. Now it says, we faint not, for the outer man perish. The inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now notice, our light affliction, our testing that God sent us down here in the human body, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. In other words, no matter what we achieve on earth here, it is nothing. Like Brother Branham brought up that cute little saying, like the fellow said, hey, he said, I understand this fellow, so-and-so, a billionaire died. How much did he leave? Well, he said, left it all. You take your glory with you. Why? Because it's character. Yeah. You see what you're looking at? How can you put people in authority without character? That's a Pharaoh. What if Moses had been the authority in his day? And he was. Oh my, they're going right straight to the promised land. What if William Branham had been in the White House instead of Kennedy? Well, he never would have got there, but we're looking at it from the picture. Where's the great men in America, spiritual-minded? They're all gone. And everybody that runs a great big company, all he can do is secure, try to secure his job. And he never even invented his job or worked for it. He just got put in. So now they buy up big companies and put other people out of work. And we eulogize some big shot. I can't understand, but I do. Now listen. These afflictions are working out character and working out a glory, an exceeding, listen, an eternal exceeding weight of glory. Now watch this. As a far more exceeding and eternal. Now Brother Branham said in the Bible here, when the word eternal is used instead of everlasting, it means it never had a beginning. So the very, in this Bible, the very grace and glory of God rests upon us. Well, how are you going to get it? I just read it to you. You see, you want grace and glory? You want to bring it into your life like gold that's stored up? I challenge you, he said, buy of me gold fat in the fire. Right here is a picture of it. Get chunks of it. Great big nuggets. Now don't go out there and lie in the street and say, truck's going to run over here. I'm going to be some kind of a fool so they'll throw rotten eggs at me. Come on, listen. That, oh God, have pity. Jesus said, they'd persecute you. Don't say, here am I, come and shoot me. Here am I, come and shoot me. He said, free to the next city. If you can get away. Now he said, if you can get away and you're to die, you're supposed to die. You're like the guy that fled from a lion and got caught by a bear. What's the difference? He's just a dead. Don't be a nut. We're not nuts. See? We're not fools. Now look at here. It's a great... Oh, listen. We're dealing in eternal things, brother, sister. We don't even know it. Baptism with the Holy Ghost is just a catchphrase. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believe? Oh, that's a wonderful thing. A nice experience. It isn't. It's a person. It's a life. You know something? I know one thing. Brother Branham was the most sincere, honest person I have met in my life. He was so sincere. Now get this right, I'm telling you. He was so sincere, he appeared to be almost like a ham actor. As though it was put on. It was that thick. But when you knew the man, it was 100% gold. That's the difference, brother and sister. We're not ham actors. God help us not to be little William Branhams, but to be like William Branham through the image of Jesus Christ. Now listen here. We're laying up that exceeding weight of glory. The very eternal things we're talking about, there's an eternal body waiting out there for us. Because that word eternal means no beginning and end. And if that came out of God, the same as Jesus, what Jesus' body did, you know what I'm talking about, the theophonic form, then ours does too. See, my mind bogs down. So does mine, but hallelujah, I'm getting eternal body. Now I've got eternal glory in chunks if I want it. How? Well, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. Endured the cross, despising the shame, because he saw he was going to get what you and I don't remember. What changed Brother Branham's life? Beyond the curtain of time. He saw. I don't think he saw his theophany. I don't believe that. But he saw the other's theophanies. And they said, oh, Brother Branham, we're glad you're here. And the voice said, you're a leader of people. You were born to be. You mean I led these people? Yes, sir, you led them. Well, I only preached what Paul preached. They said, we're resting on that. You wouldn't come back and be a changed person? You see what I'm driving at this morning, brother and sister? We think we know, but we really don't know. We know at, but we don't know, because there's not that vitality in it. Only God can do that. But listen, God does it to his saints. We count ourselves that here this morning, brother and sister, not something else. We count ourselves that. No flim-flam, no hogwash, no put on. No siree, no put on. No way, shape, and form. All right, we've looked at the picture. Now I read you my little notes here. Page 15. At this point, Brother Branham has pointed out that we as sons of God did not come exactly the same way into human existence as did Jesus. For he was given a word or a theophonic or spirit body before he came in flesh, whereas we bypassed the word body to come directly to the flesh body for the purpose of being tested in order to develop character where the grace and glory of God would be outworked in our lives and manifested, whereby we have treasure in heaven so we can shine with him on that day. And even Jesus couldn't shine with what all he had until he suffered. It's suffering. Most of us suffer in vain. Step on a nail, get a heart attack, eat too much greasy food, get a stomach ache, drink too much pop, get an ulcer, eat too much junk, get tumors, cancers, everything else. Drink too much coffee, get rid of all the good bacteria and all the bad stuff comes in. You ask for it. What about this? See? All right, however, God compensated our weakness for and propensity to sin. We've got a weakness and a propensity to sin in the mind and flesh by sending the Holy Spirit to empower us to overcome. Can't do without the Holy Ghost. We were reading that in the last sentence of paragraph 70. Up here, Brother Branham mentioned on page 15, we have not yet the word bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Now, I explained that to you and showed you that, look it, if you are a part of God, you are that part of God in your soul. That's eternal. So the Holy Spirit doesn't make it eternal. It's already eternal. It doesn't make it immortal. There's only one party can be immortal. That's not death doomed. That is talking about seed now, not the serpent seed with his soul. Thomas, which is the physical body. So the Holy Ghost coming into you is deliberately for your body so it can be called forth from the grave, as it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'll read it to you. Quick as I can turn to it. And it's the 10th verse, I think. Yes. Let's read it in the 11th. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You're going to die even though you're full of the Holy Ghost. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ in you shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The very little modicum, the little teensy-weensy bit of Spirit in you that's in your body, is the same Spirit that God is entirely made of. And God has promised, because that Spirit's in your flesh, to raise you immortal. You are already immortal potentially. So the Holy Ghost comes in to verify that you're one of the sons that's going to make it. It then, that same thing, throws the body into subjection to God. And when it does, notice, he that's born of God does not commit sin. Certainly right, that issues forth from God. Your body never issued forth from God. Your body was allowed. That's why he said you didn't do it at all. Therefore, there's now no condemnation, but you are in Christ Jesus, who walked in the rest of the Spirit. Now, it tells you right here, look, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are now empowered to walk in the Spirit, not just live in it. Over here, in, look, I haven't got time to read it all. So I really should quit now and call it a day. But if you want to read this when you go home, because we'll just quit right here, and we'll just, no notes when I get back, just one little sentence and go into it. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. There's now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is absolutely John 3:8-21, where he said, look, a man's got to be born again. Can I go to my mother's womb? He said, no way, shape, and form. Well, you're born of the Spirit of the living God. Then it goes on and say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth should not perish, everlasting light. See? Not come into condemnation. And then it says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men don't believe it. So what you're looking at right here is the fact that you start out as a born-again believer, and you will receive the Word of Almighty God, and thereby, and only thereby, will you be walking in light. And so therefore, if you're not walking in that light, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're only doing it after the flesh and not the Spirit. So a learned man goes to church and he's a fine good man, but he laughs at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, you'll never see a cleaner, finer man living. It's all in the flesh. Because there's no light there. Now, whatever manifests makes manifest his light. William Branham, there's the picture of this manifest. That's light. William Branham, with the miracle ministry, made manifest that was light, and the people ran to the light. And they said, what's with this man? Whatever speaks to me said, that's the man you should hear if you hear anybody. Tommy Osborne heard a voice saying, that's Bible. You can do what he did. God never told me that. Whatever's talking to me, maybe I just talk to myself. I talk to myself a lot. Sometimes I answer myself. Answers aren't too good. Better answer the Bible. Sure. See, many things made manifest. God manifested himself. That was light. God in nature, manifest. That's light. How can you look at nature and say there's no God? How can you? A billion bugs out there, different from every other billion bugs. Flowers, nature, animals, and no God. You know why they don't want to believe in God? Because their minds are so thin and so sticky and so pukey and so stupid, they don't want to believe in a mind that could take it all in. Hallelujah, I'm going back to where Adam was with God. How about you if you want to trail along good? I love nature. I'm with God, going to destroy those that destroy the earth. You say, you don't mean it. I'm coming back with him if I'm one of them. I'm going to be there for Armageddon, you bet. So I don't think I stay out of sight of blood. You better not make the rapture, honey. I'm not gory up here. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, people don't want to hear the truth. I'll tell us something nice and something you guys run up and down the aisles about. Well, I'll tell you what I run about the aisles about. There's a free lunch out there down the road. Start running. I hope you caught my sarcasm. We're not interested in the play of emotions and this and that. We're interested in the Word of Almighty God. Here, see what really counts. Now, with that, we're going to read Galatians. And I'll start back on this when I come back. Now look at Galatians, the 5th chapter. In the 25th verse, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. In other words, there is no such thing. Now listen, that can go negative. So I don't mean it negative, but you can go negative this way. Well now, if I'm in the Spirit, I would positively be walking in the Spirit, and everything about me then would be 100% perfect. I wouldn't make mistakes. I'd just be just this, every this way, and every that way, I'd be 100%. That's not necessarily true, because it isn't true. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection. But look at it this way. If we live in the Spirit, then it stands to reason we can walk in the Spirit. If we let the Holy Ghost come in, can't we let him direct our lives? Well, he will according to revealed word. Let me tell you people something. We stand on this major premise. This message we take for our healing. This message we take for our life. We take it for everything. And if the power of God is not in this word, and if it isn't, nothing's going to happen. But if it is in this word, and it's going to come to life in these vessels, you tell me how this is going to be. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now, don't just pretend you know this message. Don't pretend you believe it. You better be sold. And your selling is one thing only. Sink or swim, live or die, because I just might. And without hope and without God even, for what I believe. But this is it. You say, Brother Vail, that's an awful thing for Brother Branham to bring to us. That's, he said, live or die, sink or swim. Listen, kid, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Can you tell me any other age where that wasn't the truth? What about Paul the Apostle? What about Irenaeus? What about Columbus, Martin, Luther, Wesley, William Branham, Jesus Christ, Moses? There's no difference. You tell me God ever changed anything? God never changed anything. Even law. Law did not obviate grace. Law demanded that God give grace, because nobody could live it. But the law in itself wasn't grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the law was given by Moses. A man that saw conditions and said, well, we'll try to work conditions out by the law. And nobody could work anything out. And Moses himself fell flat and even died. Couldn't go in. But old David under law said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. God had broken law 1,000 times a day. What is it? Sacrifice the animal looking down the road. When grace comes walking in a man, and you see God manifested, and that one was the light. And let me suggest carefully, that William Branham was the light, like John the Baptist. He was not the light, but he was a light, like John the Baptist. And he pointed to the light, and there it is, the light above his head. And the light pointed to the little light. And don't feel bad about that, because the pillar of fire, God himself, came today at Pentecost, broke off little pieces, went to each one. Well, we could talk hours. Let's just rise at this point. Then we'll sit down again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord together, your people. And I pray, Lord God in heaven, as we found in the message here, Brother Branham's a point to talk about walk, to talk about trials. We didn't get into persecution, tribulation. We know there's a squeeze coming. We know all these things, Lord, but we know this. If we are positively inured to the understanding, we're conditioned right down to believe and do believe in this word, O God, live or die, sink or swim, that this is it, and not to take offense from it or to take offense by it or take offense with it, but just look to you, Lord, and to live it as calm, sweet people, standing in the grace of God. We know that the life of this word will be more than enough to take us through whatever we have to be taken through, and we appreciate it so much. And I, Father, I pray this morning that hearts have been stirred to a good cause. And we're looking not at each other, but we're looking at ourselves to know, Lord, exactly how to live these lives. And you've given us not just indications, you've given us many, many words and dictates and principles in your word where we can start from foundational things and just begin to grow up into these things, Lord, which are more delicately balanced, which take more of an understanding of the things of God, just way to go. Because we know, Lord, that everybody could say, well, I'm gonna pray for this man and wish him the best. And your own word has said, don't you dare wish him Godspeed unless you know what you're doing. So, Lord, there's a delicate balance in some places. In some places, there's a wall. But we know, Father, that it takes experience. It takes a growing up to that place that we need to grow up to. And then, Lord, you said at the last day, when it came time for the adoption, for the manifestation, as the prophet told us, the name of the Son was just as good as the name of the Father on the check. God, help us to realize that Brother Branham was talking about himself and about us too. We believe that in a measure. That our word, Lord, and our name is just the same as yours, because it is. And we recognize it. And there's that unity, that union, which seems at this point to be so incomprehensible and so far-fetched and so far away that we wonder if that's true. We know it is true, Lord. The fullness is going on right now and comes right to the fullness in the resurrection. It's coming on, always has been coming on. And we saw it right here in a first fruit ministry, in a first fruit life. We saw that. We saw that very life. Lord, and you said, you speak it. You told the prophet, you speak it. Did you speak the words? And he spoke the words. Just like his name on the check, Father. Not taking them. We know not taking your name off, no. But indicating he was one with you, Lord. Help us to be one with you today. Give us every one of us strength, Father, to just look at life and say, it's time to get right down to steadiness. It's time to steady down. It's time to just begin to do what's right, what's required of us. We know what's required of us. It's in the Word, Lord. Help us to be just honorable men and women, citizens of your kingdom. Not trying to be big shots, be this, be that, the other thing. But just be what you want us to be. Now, Father, we commend ourselves to you, knowing that You have the answers to every prayer. You have the answer to our heart. You are the answer, Lord, and you're here to help every single one of us. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen.